Braden Tin, but we are back with Threshers Baseball coming off of a no-hitter, the third one since 2007 to win the first game of the year for the Clearwater Threshers. A lot to follow, but Clearwater certainly has the talent to do so. Welcome into the broadcast booth. My name is Josh Sperber, and the Threshers and Marauders will go toe-to-toe once again for a rubber match in the opening series of 2023. Bradenton took the first game by a 3-2 score with the Threshers nipping at their heels. They got the go-ahead run on base in the ninth, tying run in scoring position back on Friday, but were unable to close out the game and come back from a early 3-0 deficit. However, that was not the case last night. On Saturday, it was Clearwater who took the early lead, getting a run across in the third inning. And that came thanks in part to the speed of Justin Crawford, but you got to give some credit to Fraylin Minietti as well, who did score the run and led off the inning with a single. And Eric Brito bunted back to the pitcher's mound. The pitcher, Derek Diamond, slipped and was unable to recover in time. It was ruled an infield base hit by Brito. Looked like he would have beaten it out anyways. That put runners on first and second base. Then Crawford grounded to third base in what seemed like a tailor-made double play for Jack Brannigan, but there's nothing tailor-made when Justin Crawford is on the base pass. A 70-grade runner on the Scouts 80-grade scale. He beat out a throw to first that went awry of the first baseman Giovanni Planchart, and that allowed Fraylin Minietti to score from third for the first run of the game for Clearwater. Base running came into play again in the eighth inning when Yoldin De La Paz attempted to pick off Marion Boyd, after Boyd and Crawford went back-to-back with a pair of singles each to start off the inning. Boyd was on first, Crawford was on third base. The throw went past the first baseman, Planchart, and it was ruled an error as Justin Crawford was able to escape home. To me, it looked like it was a designed play as Crawford had a big lead down the third base line, escaped as soon as he saw the ball go over to first base, and that was part of the reason that the error was caused. It was 2-0 Threshers in the eighth there, and then Gabriel Rincones grounded to Marion Boyd, who ended up making to third base. Rincones hit a ground ball to second base to score Boyd from third base. Now, while all this was happening, the Threshers had a no-hitter go, and it was like that from the jump. Samuel Aldegary got the start last night, and he was perfect, quite literally. Four innings pitched, no base runners allowed, and seven strikeouts for the lefty. A high in this young season for a starting pitcher, and really any pitcher by a Thresher. But the Threshers pitching staff was not done. Wyatt Hendry walked to break up the no-no leading off the fifth inning with Eduardo Segovia on the mound. He would walk two in his two innings of work and struck out two batters. Andrew Walling struck out two batters as well with a walk in one inning. Orion Kirkering came in the eighth, striking out the side. There were still no hits leading up to the ninth inning. A two-out walk was surrendered to Jack Brannigan, preventing him from getting the golden sombrero, but a strikeout on a 2-2 pitch to Javier Rivas completed the no-hitter for the Threshers and secured their first victory of the 2023 season. Threshers and Marauders are both 1-1, and they will change that. There will be one team with a better record than the other by the end of this contest today. So, with that in mind, here are the starting lineups for today's contest. Beginning with the Clearwater Threshers, as I mentioned, coming in at 1-1 on the season. Same record as the Marauders, of course, led by Marty Malloy back as a skipper for the second season, Matt Hockenberry, the pitching coach, Chris Heinz, the hitting coach, Michael Jones, the position coach. He'll be coaching first base, as he has done for the better part of this series,
today. Samantha Myers is the athletic trainer. Marissa Van Hassel, the assistant AT. Joseph Miranda, the strength and conditioning coach. And Matt Parker, the player development associate.
There's the coaching staff for Clearwater, and here are your starting lineups for the Threshers. Justin Crawford will lead things off, and he is starting in center field. Marion Boyd back in the two spot and in left field. A really nice and fast 1-2 punch. Both runners are graded at 70 on an 80 grade scale. A lot of speed and a lot of raw power in these two high school prospects, both top 15 in the Phillies system. Chad Castillo is the first baseman. He will move up to the three spot in the lineup. Cade Fergus up in the cleanup spot as Gabriel Rincones Jr. gets a night off in right field. Jordan Byers is back in the lineup for the Threshers, batting fifth. Otto Kemp makes his return after he recorded the first hit and scored the first run of the Thresher season back on opening day. He'll bat sixth and play second base. Jordan Disson makes his full season debut, picked in last year's draft, and has now worked his way to the starting lineup. It will be behind the plate for Clearwater tonight and batting seventh. Braylon Minietti back in the eighth spot and at third base, and Eric Brito, who will play his 100th game for the Threshers today. He bats ninth and will play shortstop. Braden Fosnot will be the starting pitcher for tonight. Another left-hander, and that worked pretty well last night, as I mentioned before, talking about Samuel Aldighieri's dominance in last night's contest. It's been a small sample size for Braden Fosnot, a Division II signee out of Westchester University, played for the Trenton Thunder in the MLB Draft League, and only pitched two innings last season in the Florida Complex League, but he didn't allow a hit, he didn't allow a run, he didn't allow a walk, he didn't hit anybody, and struck out three guys. After a really solid career at Westchester University, we'll go over in a lot more detail as the game goes on, but he is a record holder for the Golden Rams. 18 starts, most in a season, that was in 2022. 104 innings pitched, also the most in a season, and 130 strikeouts, you guessed it, also the most in a season. All that came in 2022, and it's one of the reasons that the Phillies signed him less than a week after the draft ended back in 2022. Now for the Bradenton Marauders. They will be bringing in a rehabber to start this game, but first we'll take a look at their coaching staff with Jonathan Johnston as the manager for the Bradenton Marauders, Matt Ford, the pitching coach, Quentin Brown, the hitting coach, and Casey Harms, Gustavo Amanya are the bench coaches for today's contest. For the starting lineup for Bradenton, they come into the game at 1-1. Emmanuel Torero is in right field tonight, moving across the corner of the outfield, but remaining in the leadoff spot. Jack Brannigan stays in the two spot, but will take a night off in the field and be the designated hitter. Javier Rivas back in the three hole and back at shortstop, as he was on opening day. Wyatt Hendry is going to move to first base today, and he will stay in the cleanup spot. Trace Gonzalez batting fifth and playing in center field. Jesus Castillo is the second baseman batting sixth. Davis Nadal got the first run of the season in for the Bradenton Marauders on the season. He is batting seventh and playing third. Braylon Bishop back in left field. And batting eighth, Giovanni Planchart moves down to the ninth spot in the lineup and moves behind the plate as he will be doing the catching for Braxton Ashcroft. I talked about last night Edward Segovia not having pitched since 2021. Same is the case for Braxton Ashcroft. He's making his first competitive start since July 21st of 2021. That was in High A Greensboro. And he is coming off a seven-day injured list in High A. Expected to go back to the Grasshoppers when this rehab stint is over. Could see him go as high as Double A. Ashcroft making his first appearance, added to the roster early this morning, making his first appearance for the Marauders and his first appearance in a little less than a year. So those are the starting lineups, and we're just about set for game day. A beautiful day. The skies have cleared up after a little bit of rain this morning, delayed the game by about an hour and a half. And now we will have baseball ready for you here at Lacombe Park. And before we do that, we will take you around the Florida State League on this Sunday. Just three games in action today is Palm Beach and Jupiter, and the other game, the Dunedin Fort Myers series, started on Saturday, or started on Thursday and ended on Saturday. Lakeland leads 2-1 in the bottom of the sixth inning, and Tampa is currently at the plate right now. The Tarpons, Daytona, leads St. Lucie 1-0 in the top of the fourth. We're going to take a short break and step aside for the national anthem. And when we come back, we'll have baseball for you on the Threshers Baseball Broadcast Network. Well, after about an hour and a half of rain delays, it is bright and sunny skies here in beautiful Bradenton, Florida, all set for game number three of the 2023 regular season. The Clearwater Threshers taking on the Bradenton Marauders. Once again, I'm Josh Sperber, the voice of the Threshers, welcoming you into the broadcast here on Sunday afternoon, the last game in this opening series before the Threshers return to BayCare Ballpark to officially open the doors in Clearwater to all of you wonderful fans. You can go to threshersbaseball.com to purchase tickets for the home opener, which is also Dollar Tuesday. Dollar dogs, dollar sodas, select dollar beers within reason. You can find out all the information on threshersbaseball.com and get tickets as well. We hope to see you there. Hope you listen on the radio as well. I say that to no one on the radio while you guys all listen. But anyways, we're ready for baseball. The lineup for the Threshers begins with Justin Crawford once again, and he is getting ready to step into the left-handed batter's box. And Marion Boyd is in the on-deck circle with Chad Castillo in the hole, Cade Fergus, Jordan Viers, Otto Kemp, Jordan Disson, Fraylin Minietti, and Eric Brito follow them 4-9 in the Threshers order. And Crawford is set. Braxton Ashcraft is on the mound for the first time in about a year and a half. And we are ready for baseball here at Lacombe Park in Bradenton, Florida. About 77 degrees out, nice and sunny. As the home plate umpire, Shea Graham, is just making sure that the bullpen doors are all closed so that we can get going here in Bradenton. The field looks absolutely fantastic, by the way. Big shout out to the Marauders grounds crew for getting things turned around so quickly after pulling the tarp off and some long rain. First pitch to Justin Crawford, an inside fastball. It's a 1-0 count to the Phillies' 17th overall pick last season. Crawford fouls it back now to make it 1-1. Crawford played a big part in two of the three runs for the Threshers last night, as now he awaits the 1-1 pitch. This one he inside outs, and that's going to land in the stands foul. 1-2. First run of the game, Crawford, his speed, forced another errant throw from the second baseman of the Marauders. 1-2. Swing and a miss. There's strike three. The second run, he scored himself. Adeptly racing home after a pickoff attempt went awry for Amarion Boyd, who was coming up to the plate right now. So, Braxton Ashcraft, his first strikeout since July 12th. First pitch to Boyd, a breaking ball that catches the outside corner 0-1. Boyd had a great start to his Thresher season yesterday, 2-for-3 with a run scored. Now the 0-1. Slider catching the outside corner, 0-2. They'll set the defense for the Marauders after this pitch, but Ashcraft kicks and deals. Fastball way high, and now 1-2. The defense behind Ashcraft in the infield, Davis and Dahl at third, Javier Rivas at short, Jesus Castillo at second, and Wyatt Hendry at first. 1-2 pitch. Just tap foul by Boyd, bounced off the plate, and will do it again. Still a 1-2 count. In the outfield, left to right, Braylon Bishop, Tres Gonzalez, and Emmanuel Serrero with Giovanni Planchart. Not catching that pitch as it was fouled away again by Boyd. Planchart, the battery mate of Braxton Ashcraft. Last played in 2021 after an injury for the Greensboro Grasshoppers, IA South Atlantic League affiliate of the Pirates. 1-2. Tap foul again. Boyd, three straight pitches fouled off with two strikes. A nice defensive at bat from the 19-year-old out of Batesville, Mississippi. Be more specific, South Panola High School. Ashcraft has the glove in front of his eyes. Sets up for the 1-2 pitch. Kicks and fires. Just missing inside. Good plate discipline by Marion Boyd. And the count is now 2-2. Ashcraft, 38 and two-thirds innings pitched back in 2021 for the Grasshoppers, a 5.35 ERA. 2-2. This one is bounced over to third base, fielded cleanly by Nadal, slings across the diamond, pulled the first baseman a little bit off the bag, but he made the squeeze, kept his foot on first base for out number two. A little bit of wind here in Lacombe Ballpark, so you might hear some doors closing pretty quickly. Scared me when I walked out just to get another bottle of water to get ready for this broadcast, but I digress. Chad Castillo is in the left-handed batter's box with two outs. He swings and misses at a changeup to make it 0-1. Castillo got a hit in the first game last night, reached on an error in the fourth, but was 0-for-4 overall. 0-1. Swing and a miss again. He looked like he was expecting some heat, but got a breaking pitch on the outside part of the plate. And now Ashcraft has an 0-2 advantage. Castillo will adjust himself, put his foot back in the front corner of the left-handed batter's box, and now the 0-2. Hit on the ground sharply, but foul. Right past the outstretched hand of Michael Jones, former major leaguer, who is coaching first base for the Threshers, officially their position coach and bench coach. 0-2 again. Swing and a miss. There's strike three. Two strikeouts to bookend the first inning for Braxton Ashcraft. No rust for him. No runs, no hits, no errors, and no one left for the Threshers. We'll head into the bottom of the first with the Marauders up to bat in a scoreless ballgame. Insider reviews and fan reactions. We've got coverage on and off the field all season. It's the Marauders' turn here on Sunday afternoon. Braden Fosnott making his first start of the season. Two lefties in a row in the starting rotation for Marty Malloy and Co. as the throw goes down to second base. Already to start this inning. Fosnott in his first full season as a professional, coming out of the FCL in 2022 for a couple of games, but primarily a record-setting season at the University of Westchester in central Pennsylvania. And Fosnott making his full season debut against Emmanuel Torero. His first pitch for the Threshers is grounded right to second base. A couple steps in for Kemp, and he'll fire to first for out number one. One pitch, one out for Braden Fosnott, and we'll take a look at the Threshers' defense behind the lefties at Westchester University. It's Otto Kemp at second base, and Chad Castillo at first, who combined on that first out in the inning. Eric Brito moving to short. Fraylin Minietti staying at third for the Threshers infield. Amarion Boyd, Justin Crawford, and Cade Ferguson right, making the outfield left to right for the Threshers. First pitch fastball misses to Jack Brannigan, designated hitter of the Marauders, who's played third base in each of the past two nights. Struck out in three of his four at-bats yesterday, as another fastball misses outside, 2-0. The lineup for Bradenton, Emmanuel Torero led off, grounded to second, a 2-0 count now to Brannigan, and in the on-deck circle is Javier Rebos. The 2-0 pitch, that outside, count 3-0. Wyatt Hendry's batting cleanup, Tres Gonzalez batting fifth, Jesus Castillo the sixth hitter, Davis Nadal batting seventh, Bishop eighth, and Planchart, the catcher, batting ninth, as a fastball over the outside part of the plate for a called strike. It's a 3-1 count now to Brannigan, who has played all three games of this opening series. Now awaits the 3-1. Upstairs on the heater, and for the second straight at bat, Brannigan has walked. He walked in the ninth inning, but then Javier Rebos struck out on a six-pitch at bat to end the game and complete the no-hitter. A stellar debut for another left-handed hurler for the Threshers, Wesley Moore, a walk and two strikeouts in the first save of the season and his career for the young, non-drafted free agent out of Kansas State. First pitch misses inside to Javier Rebos, and the count is 1-0. A five-pitch mix for Fosnott, a four-seamer, a two-seamer that kind of morphs into a sinker. Slider, cutter, and a changeup are his breaking stuff. Short lead from Brannigan. The 1-0 from Fosnott. Swing and a miss way behind that cutter. High outside corner. It's a 1-1 count to Rebos. Rebos struck out in each of his last three plate appearances. Went 0-for-4 last night. Went 1-for-3 on opening day. So he's 0-for his last seven. 1-1. Hit up the middle. Diving play by Brito. He comes up with it, but he's not going to be able to throw it back to a base in time. Eric Brito laid out and got all muddy to try and stop that from becoming a bigger play than it was. Brannigan might have gone to third if that had leaked through, but Brito was very close to a highlight reel play here in the first inning. So the first base hit for Bradenton since Friday. They had two in the eighth inning of that game, but the no-hitter last night ended a little bit of streaks of hitting. And now a single by Javier Rebos, who also had the first hit of the Bradenton season back in the first inning on Friday's game. Two on and one out for Wyatt Hendry as Fosnacht deals. This one is wrapped to Brito. He takes a flip to second, on to first from Kemp, and there's the double play to end the inning. Eric Brito couldn't make the throw after diving on a grounder, but a tailor-made 6-4-3 double play completes the first inning here in Bradenton. The Marauders get a hit but leave a runner stranded, do not score a run, no errors committed by the Clearwater Threshers, and we're through one inning of work here in Bradenton in a scoreless ball game on the Threshers Broadcast Network. We're ready to go in the second inning here in Bradenton. 4, 5, and 6 coming up for the Threshers after two strikeouts from Ashcraft helped set the Threshers down in order in the first inning. It'll be Cade Fergus, Jordan Viers, and Otto Kemp. Two of those guys combined for a hit and a run back in the first game. This one is hit on the ground to short. Not much movement needed by Rivas. Hustling down the line is Fergus, but the throw gets there in time. One pitch, one out on the ground out in the top of the second inning. Jordan Viers still looking for his first hit of the season. He didn't play last night, but is back on the field tonight. On Friday, Viers was 0 for 4 with two strikeouts, but did reach on a fielder's choice back in the fifth inning of that game. First pitch to Viers is a fastball that misses high and outside, 1-0. Viers, the 13th prospect in the Phillies system, had a very impressive minor league camp, 1-0. Catching the outside corner with a breaking ball, and the count even at 1-1. Two of his last five games, he hit back-to-back home runs. This one is hit hard on the ground, and that's the first hit of the season for Jordan Viers. He hits the ball very hard. A little over the top of that, but got plenty of the barrel on it. And the Threshers have their first hit of the ball game. Earliest in a game, they have recorded a hit. As last night, the hits didn't come until the third. And that was the same thing on opening day. But in the top of the second here, one on and one out with a Viers single for Otto Kemp. Short lead at first from Viers. Ashcraft deals. Kemp lets the breaking ball go, and it settles in there for a called strike. Looked like a slider on the outside part of the plate. Kemp also had a night off last night, but was excellent in game number one. 1 for 2 with a run scored, and the first hit of the Threshers' season as he lets the slider go outside, 1-1. Viers has some speed. A shorter lead means he's more likely to stay on first as the 1-1. This one is hit high in the air out to center field. Gonzalez eases to his right, camps and makes the catch, and there is out number two. Well hit ball by Kemp, but one of those that was just hit right at the outfield. So two gone now for a guy making his full season debut, Jordan Disson, 20-year-old catcher at a Saddleback College. Transferred from the University of Michigan. or University of Richmond, excuse me. First pitch to Disson is a fastball in the outside corner for the called strike. Debuted with the Florida Complex League's Phillies last year, 6-for-17 with 3 runs scored. Now the 0-1. Hit high and foul going down the right field line, count 0-2. Disson, a 12th round pick of the Phillies back in 2022. Did not commit an error in his time with the FCL, but maybe should have swung it back. A tough pitch on the outside corner, and Braxton Ashcraft gets a called third strike on a slider, and the Threshers strand a run in the top of the second inning. Scoreless ball game heading into the bottom half of the second. You're listening to Threshers Baseball on the Threshers Broadcast Network. Bottom of the second inning, 3 strikeouts already for Braxton Ashcraft, and Braden Fosnot looking for his first was helped by a strong-looking defense as a good throw from Jordan Disson ends the warm-up period, and now Tres Gonzalez will step up to the plate for the first time today. He has played in all 3 games of this opening series, all of them in center field. Cleanup man on Friday, batting 5th yesterday, and is doing the same thing today. No score so far, each team with a hit, and Braden Fosnot kicks and deals for the first pitch of the bottom second. It settles in there for a called strike that looked like a cutter, high and tight, to Tres Gonzalez. Pitch. Fastball outside, and it's 1-1. Gonzalez last night, 0-for-3. And his last at bat as he flies this one foul down the left field line, 1-2. His last at bat was the great defensive play that is pretty much a standard in any no-hitter that you'll see. A high fly ball into shallow left that Amarion Boyd made a great sliding catch to stop and end that inning and keep the no-no going. 1-2. This one is hit to left field. Charging is Boyd. He loses the hat, but lets the ball drop in front of him for a base hit. Tres Gonzalez gets a little bit of revenge with a leadoff single here in the second. It's Gonzalez's first hit since the 7th inning on Friday. He was 1-for-3 with a walk in that game, 0-for-3 last night, and now 1-for-1 to bring up Jesus Castillo. Got the oven mitt on his right hand, supposed to make him more aerodynamic while running, as Fosnot checks him back at first base. Jesus Castillo has switched time between second and shortstop. As a shortstop last night, he was 0-for-3 with a walk. Struck out his last time in the 8th. The pitch. Outside with a slider, count 1-0. Fosnot taking a look at first, the 1-0. Upstairs with the breaking ball outside, 2-0. First day game, first Sunday game for both teams. Split the nightcap session of this opening series. And now the 2-0. Fastball, it settles in there for a called strike. Tres Gonzalez was dancing a little bit towards second base, not distracting Fosnot. But he's got his eye on the pitcher. He might go to steal. Fosnot looks over at first base. Off goes Gonzalez. Pitch misses for a ball. Throw on the money from Disson, but the tag just missed. Throw a tiny bit off center. One hop into the glove of Otto Kemp, but it's Tres Gonzalez with the first stolen base of the ballgame. 3-1 count to Jesus Castillo, and we have a runner in scoring position for the first time today. Castillo, one of the large contingent of minor league players who played in Australia during the offseason, played for the Sydney Blue Sox, has a 3-1 from Fosnot. Swing and a miss way behind that breaking ball, and it's a full count to 3-2. Castillo was on the Sydney Blue Sox, who finished with the worst record in the ABL. 142 batting average with a .230 on base percentage in 34 games over in Australia's capital city. Payoff pitch, hammered to short, over the head of Brito, and that lands in left for a base hit. Quick throw to third base, not going to be in time, as it is a single for Jesus Castillo. Back-to-back base knocks for the Marauders. And there are runners on the corners with nobody out here in the second inning. That'll bring up Davis Nadal, who got the first RBI of the season for the Marauders with a bases-loaded walk in the first inning of Friday's game. If he plays on Tuesday... Actually, if he plays Tuesday and Wednesday, it'll be his 60th game for the Marauders after Nadal pulls back a bunt. Fastball a bit inside, so it's a 1-0 count to Davis. 56 games for the Marauders last year with a homer, 16 RBIs, and 11 stolen bases. He's got the middle infield at double play depth here. Corners pinched as the fastball hits the outside corner for a called strike. Nadal from San Pedro de Macorís in the Dominican Republic, a city with a lot of professional baseball talent. Countless minor leaguers have come out of that city in the Dominican, including a couple of threshers. 2-1 count for Fosnot. He deals. This one is hit high in the air down the right field line. Should be enough to score a run. Close to the foul line is Fergus to make the catch. He'll throw it home. The throw bounces, but not in time. Cade Fergus made it really close, but Tres Gonzalez slides in with the first run of the game for the Marauders. Second ribby of the season for Davis Nadal, and it's 1-0 Bradenton here in the bottom of the second. So that'll bring up Braylon Bishop in his second game of the season, a high school draft pick out of Texarkana, Arkansas, 14th round pick by the Pirates back in 2021, making his full season debut this year. One gone here in the second, one run to naught for the Marauders as the pitch is tapped foul, count 0-1. Bishop was the number 9 hitter on opening day. Reached on a walk in the fourth, but was otherwise 0-for-3 with 2 Ks. Good speed on first base with Castillo. He lengthens his lead as Fosnot sends the 0-1 home. Instead, naturally, he'll send it to Castillo, who gets Castillo back to first standing up. Chad Castillo at first base. Jesus Castillo taking a lead off of first base. We'll see which Castillo wins that battle. 0-1 to Bishop as Fosnot kicks and deals. Fastball just at the letters. Really nice pitch from Braden Fosnot, and it's 0-2. Seen a lot of pitchers throwing a bit more quickly than Fosnot with the pitch clock. But Braden really takes his time as he's got 3 seconds left on the pitch clock. Two, now he deals. And that is going to hit Bishop. Not sure if it was on the hand or the shoulder, but definitely on that lead arm. So an 0-2 pitch turns into a hit-by pitch. And now two runners on, one out once again. This time it's Castillo at second base and Braylon Bishop over at first. Now Giovanni Clancharp moves from first base to behind the plate in the field and moves into the 9-hole in the Marauders lineup. A run already across for the Pirates single A affiliate. Middle infield is pinched at double play depth to try and stop that. First pitch is a breaking ball that misses outside. See a bit of a different field design today. To really try and encourage this no shift rule, you have two lines at the point of second base that is facing center field. The 1-0. Breaking ball just misses inside, 2-0. The lines go in opposite directions, one towards left and one towards right field. And that is basically the do not cross line for the second baseman and the shortstop. Don't think that's going to be a permanent change to the line drawing across minor league fields as the fastball gets in there for a called strike on Clancharp. It's 2-1. But at the very least, it's being used as some sort of a training concept for these minor leaguers to keep enforcing that no shift rule. Started last year, but is put a lot more strongly into effect this season as Clancharp tips it into distance glove to make it 2-2. Last year, you saw more of the players moving around the infield, but you could not have guys go to the outfield. Definitely some times where you saw a middle infielder right behind second base. Now, you are not allowed to go there if you are a second baseman or a shortstop. Breaking ball just missed, and it's a full count to Clancharp. Both runners taking bigger leads now, expecting them to go here on this 3-2 incoming pitch. Fosna deals. Hit high in the air, foul down the right field line, and we'll do it again. Clancharp made his season debut last night, batted in the 7th spot, grounded into a double play in the 5th, struck out in his last at-bat in the 8th, and grounded out in the 3rd. The 3-2 again. Fosnot deals. Off go the runners, and off goes the baseball into foul territory. Back to second goes Castillo. Back to first goes Bishop. And once again, it'll be a full count to Giovanni Clancharp. Kemp has his right foot at the edge of that white chalk line on second base. Up the middle as he can. He'll go back to the bag to try and get Castillo, who will slide in head first safely. Still a full count to Clancharp. One out here in the bottom of the 2nd inning. Bradenton leads it 1-0. Fosna from the stretch on the third base side of the rubber. Looks at the runners and goes. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. A big strikeout on a cutter. And that's the first K of the day for Braden Fosnot. Clancharp down on strikes for the 2nd time this season. And the lineup card turns over with 2 outs now here in the 2nd. A big strikeout as Fosnot, a guy who relies on making players miss, isn't going to blow his stuff by him. That fastball's topped out at 90 miles an hour thus far. But his command has looked pretty solid, able to get a couple of swinging strikes on these Marauders. 2 outs, Emmanuel Torrero takes a look at a first pitch fastball that is in there for a called strike. Torrero grounded out on the first pitch of the ball game from Fosnot. Sent one pretty much right at Otto Kemp at second base. He's back to a more normal depth. And it's Brito, the shortstop, holding Castillo on second base. The 0-1. Holds up the swing, does Torrero. Doesn't matter anyway. The fastball on the outside corner at 0-2. And Fosnot, a strike away from getting out of another jam. 1-0, Marauders lead. Castillo on second, Bishop on first. Fosnot, the 0-2. Hit high in the air, foul down the left field line. We'll do it again. Torero has been in the leadoff spot all three games. Played right field on Friday, playing right field again tonight. He had two walks and an RBI on Friday, and a golden sombrero with four strikeouts as the leadoff man yesterday in the no-hitter. Here's the 0-2. Outside with the breaker, and the count is now 1-2. Torero still searching for his first hit of the season. Two runners on and two outs here in the bottom second. Fosnot deals. Breaking ball just misses upstairs. Looking for it to dip just a tiny bit more in that upper corner of the plate. But no dice on that slider from Fosnot. Count now even at 2-2. 1-0 Marauders with two outs here in the bottom of the second. Two runners on. Fosnot deals. Did he go? He did. Strike three as Chad Lagana confirms the inning-ending strikeout for Braden Fosnot and the Threshers. But the Marauders get themselves on the board. They score a run on two hits, no errors, and two batters left. We'll head into the third now here in Bradenton. Bradenton Marauders lead it 1-0 over your Clearwater Threshers. The Marauders have the lead for the first time since Friday. In both games, the team who has taken the first lead has never surrendered that lead. As hard as the Threshers fought to change that back on Friday night, as I mentioned in the pregame show, they were really just a base hit away from tying it. They had two runners on in the ninth inning, but were unable to get him across. Julian Bosnick closed out that game to secure a Marauders opening win here in Bradenton. First pitch of the third is in there for a called strike on Fraylin Minietti, who had a really strong season debut last night. 0-1 pitch. Breaking ball in there for a strike, and it's 0-2. Minietti reached base in three of his four at-bats, a strike, a single, and two walks. 0-2. Hit on the ground to third. That's going to tail foul. Count stay 0-2. Got the first hit of the game for either team in the third inning with a leadoff single. Ended up coming around to score on a fielder's choice that resulted in an error over at first base. Now the 0-2. Hit right up the middle to the second baseman Castillo. He fields it, skips toward first, and sends it in there for out number one. So Minietti retired for the second straight at bat. That'll bring up Eric Brito, who has a hit in each of the first two games. This is really the first change for him. He is hit in the nine spot in both games for Clearwater. Now the first pitch to him is a slider in there for a called strike. Brito played second base on Friday, second base on Saturday, and now moving to short tonight. 0-1. Fouls it off his own leg, and that's going to roll all the way back to Braxton Ashcraft. He's going to throw the ball towards the dugout, get a new one for an 0-2 pitch to Brito. Here it is. Inside. Good eye by Eric Brito to make it 1-2. Brito playing his 100th career game for the Threshers, only team he's played for as a pro in the United States of America. 1-2. Fastball missing upstairs, 2-2. Fastest pitch we've seen from Ashcraft has been 96. He's been hovering mainly at the 94-95 range. 2-2. Swing and a miss. There's strike three. The strikeouts have stayed consistent for Braxton. He's had one each inning, and there is the third of the game. Two strikeouts swinging, one of them looking, and now the top of the lineup for the Threshers will come to the plate. Justin Crawford, also a hit in each of his first two games, his first full pro season. Swing and a miss. Looking for the heat, found a breaking ball in the outside corner, and it's 0-1. Crawford struck out to lead off the game. Now the 0-1 pitch. Breaking ball settles in there for a called strike. And it's the speed of Crawford that makes him the most dangerous, as we've seen the last couple nights. 0-2. Swing and a miss. He's going to try and escape to first base. Picked up by the catcher, Planchart, out at first, as the ball's caught by Wyatt Hendricks. So the Threshers go down in order for the second time on a drop third strike. 4 Ks on the day for Braxton Ashcraft, and we'll head into the bottom of the third inning with the Threshers trailing 1-0 here on the Threshers Broadcast Network. Bottom of the third inning here in Bradenton. Last of the opening road series between the Threshers and the Marauders. And they won't see each other until later on in the series. Threshers will come back here in July. Marauders will make a trip down to BayCare Ballpark later on in the season as well. But for now, it is Jack Brannigan who leads off the third inning. Right on left matchup as Fosnot kicks and deals. Breaking ball settles in there for a called strike. The Marauders will come back in the second week of May, 16th through the 21st, right after Mother's Day, which the Threshers will spend in Dunedin. 0-1, hit high in the air and foul, count 0-2 to Brannigan, who walked in his first attempt. The Threshers will return to Bradenton for the pre-July 4th series on Wednesday, June 28th. That ends on the rare Monday game on July 3rd. Breaking ball outside, and it's 1-2. Trying to get Brannigan to chase there was Fosnot. And then after July 3rd, the Threshers and Marauders are done going head-to-head this season. Fosnot's not done, though. Gets Brannigan to swing and miss for strike three, his second punch-out of the day. Third punch-out of the day, and third consecutive strikeout. All three have been swinging. He got Planchart and Torero to end the second inning, and since that run has scored, he has really been on point. One out now. Base is clear for Javier Rivas, who looks like he swung, and no appeal needed. Disson asked for one, but home plate umpire just said, you know what, it's a strike anyway, and it certainly was. 1-for-1 on the day is Rivas. 0-1 the pitch as the breaking ball misses upstairs. 1-1 the count. Looks like there's a man getting loose in the Bradenton bullpen. It's like a left-handed arm. As the 1-1 pitch inside, count 2-1. So after today, the Threshers will return home to an off day on Monday, and then their first home series of the season. 2-1. Hit on the ground to second. Kemp's not even going to dive. That ball's just going to roll into right field for hit number 4 of the day for Bradenton. 2 of those hits belong to Javier Rivas, as he's got the first multi-hit game of the season for him. And for the Marauders, it's the second or third multi-hit game of the season. Both Jack Brannigan and Jesus Castillo had 2 singles apiece on Friday, but no extra base hits yet for Bradenton, as Wyatt Hendry is now in the batter's box. Throw over to first base. Back in standing is Rivas. He's got some speed. Now he's more known for the power and the height. Seems like Pirates like tall shortstop prospects. O'Neill Cruz comes to mind. First pitch is a breaking ball outside to Wyatt Hendry, who grounded into a double play to end the first inning in his last time up. He's walked once, but is still looking for his first hit of the season. 10 stolen bases in a 3-year career for Rivas. This is 3rd season. And the 1-0. Cutter in there for a called strike. Count now 1-1. Hendry's first time reaching base was a walk in the 5th inning that led off the inning and ended the perfect game bid after a perfect 4 frames from Samuel Aldeguerri. Breaking ball up and into Hendry, and it's 2-1. Other than that, though, Hendry last night walked again in the 7th and grounded out in the 2nd, so he was 0-1. In game 1, he was 0-4 with a strikeout and reached on a fielder's choice. Fosnot looks over at first. The pitch hit high in the air, fell 2-2. And Hendry showing that he can just keep playing. Not a lot of times you see catchers go back-to-back behind the plate and then stay in the field. That's why Caleb Ricketts has the day off today for the Threshers. 2-2. Bouncing foul down the third baseline, well fielded by the third base coach for the Marauders. We'll send that to a fan. Looks like a kid's going to come up with that one. 2-2 count now to Hendry. Runner on first base, that's Javier Rivas. 1 gone and a 1-0 lead for the Marauders in the 3rd. 2-2. Hit high in the air out to right field. Fergus going back in front of the track, and he makes the catch, and in his follow-through ends up on the warning track just a matter of feet before the right field wall. So a well-hit ball by Hendry isn't enough, and there's 2 gone here in the 3rd to bring up Tres Gonzalez, who scored the only run of the game so far. Single to lead off the 2nd, stole 2nd base, advanced to 3rd on Castillo's single, and then scored on the Davis-Nadal sacrifice fly. So Marty Malloy, the manager for the Threshers, is coming out of the bullpen, and I think he's going to give the hook to Braden Fosnot. It looks like he is. So the full season debut for Fosnot ends. He's in line for the loss, allowed 4 hits and 1 run. Only walked 1 batter, hit a batter as well, and struck out 3. And a right-hander will come out of the Threshers' bullpen. It looks like Leoniel Ramirez, but I will confirm that shortly. Until that point, we'll take a quick break here on the Threshers Broadcast Network. New pitcher coming in for Clearwater right after this. Now pitching, number 27, Leoniel Ramirez. It's the season debut for Yoniel Ramirez, coming in relief of Braden Fosnot, who leaves after 2 2/3 innings pitch, allowed a run on 4 hits, struck out 3, and walked 1. Is still responsible for the runner on first base. That's Javier Rivas. And Ramirez makes his first appearance as a member of the Phillies organization. He was taken by Philadelphia in the Rule 5 draft after being initially signed by the San Francisco Giants back in 2018. 2 outs here in the third. The first pitch from Ramirez misses upstairs for a ball. It's Tres Gonzalez at the plate right now. And he faces a 1-0 count. Ramirez from the stretch. He's set from the stomach and deals. Hit the other way into left field. Mararion Boyd slips. And he does not make the catch. It looks like he had it, but he couldn't hang on. Gets the throw into third, not in time to get Rivas. And that was almost just a really unlikely play. Should be ruled a base hit for Tres Gonzalez, and Javier Rivas will stand on third base. It is officially ruled a hit, so back-to-back singles for Gonzalez. He singled in the second, and now the Marauders have the pressures cornered with 2 outs here in the third inning. That'll bring up Jesus Castillo, who singled back in the second. With the corner infielders pinched in a bit. Breaking ball, well blocked by Disson. Just smushed the ball into the dirt, and it's a 1-0 count. Ramirez, out of Azua in the Dominican Republic, a sinker, slider, and a changeup are his 3 pitches. Primarily a reliever over his 3 seasons with San Francisco. 1-0. Just missing. Oh, no, that catches the zone for a strike. Like a changeup there, high and outside. And it was called a strike on Castillo. Inside on the slider. The throwback to first base, not in time. Gonzalez had traveled well far off of first base, thinking that the ball was going to get behind Disson. But it did not. Nearly ended the inning on a nice back pick to first, did the 20-year-old out of Saddleback Community College. Ramirez, unfazed by Tres Gonzalez's dancing at third. By Rivas's dancing at third, as a breaking ball gets in there for a called strike 2. 2-2 the count. Ramirez leaning in for the sign. 7 seconds left on the pitch clock. Once again, Rivas dancing towards home. Ramirez calmly looks at the plate and deals. Did he go? Ball gets behind Disson. Off to second base goes Gonzalez. And it will be ball 3. So now there are runners on second and third. Tres Gonzalez on second. Javier Rivas on third base. 1-0 in favor of the Marauders. 2 outs here in the bottom third. Ramirez, the payoff. High and outside, ball 4. Gonzalez has reached for the second time. And the Marauders load up the bases for Davis Nadal. He's had the first 2 RBIs of each game he has started. A bases loaded walk back in the first inning of Friday's contest, and a sacrifice fly in the second inning that scored Trace Gonzalez from third base. Now the switch hitter batting from the left-handed side of the plate for the first time today awaits the first pitch, just missing outside on the sinker, and that makes it 1-0. Ramirez, 66 appearances with the Giants, dating back to the DSL in 2018, a career 8-9 record, 4.60 ERA, And 65 of those 66 appearances for San Francisco's organization came out of the bullpen. So an automatic ball as there's a pitch clock violation on Yoniel Ramirez. 2-0 count now to Davis Nadal. Nowhere to put him as Rivas is on third, Gonzalez on second, and Jesus Castillo on first. Nice block from Disson to save a run, and now the count is 3-0. Ramirez in desperate need of a strike here. One more ball, and it'll be 2-0 in favor of the Marauders. They've got five hits to Clearwater's one, and a 1-0 lead here in the bottom of the third. 3-0. Fastball just misses below the knees. I thought that was going to be a called strike, and for the second time this weekend, Davis Nadal has walked with the bases loaded. Now that makes it 2-0. Bradenton in the lead here in the third. Javier Rivas scores. Tres Gonzalez moves to third. Castillo to second. And Davis Nadal is on first base with his second RBI. Still no official at-bats for the switch hitter. And that run is charged to Fosnot. So the book will close on him after the first pitch to Braylon Bishop, which is called a strike. I'll tell you how Fosnot's night was. He's currently in line for the loss. 2 2/3 innings pitch, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts for the lefty out of Westchester University. 0-1 to Bishop. Breaking ball misses inside, and the count is 1-1. So all of these runs are responsibility of Yoniel Ramirez. And out comes Jordan Disson to have a chat with his pitcher. Just trying to calm down the newest, one of the newest members of the Phillies. Rule 5 draft usually occurs in November, and that's when Ramirez was taken and added to the Phillies organization. 21 years old, he's been a pro since 2018, Ramirez has. 1-1 to Bishop, swing and a miss, hard cut at the inside fastball, a nice pitch from Ramirez to get some, head himself back out in front of the count. 1-2, as Bishop, who was hit by a pitch, rests the bat on his back shoulder. The pitch, breaking ball, just missing low. Ramirez looking for the swinging strike, and Bishop not obliging. Bishop, the opening day left fielder, 12 RBIs in 36 games with the Pirates Complex League team last season. 2-2 the count, bases loaded, 2-0 the lead for Bradenton with one runner home this inning. Called strike 3. A nice pitch on the outside corner from Yoniel Ramirez strands the bases loaded for the Marauders, but the damage still got done. Bradenton added another run to their lead. They lead 2-0 after getting two hits and leaving the bases loaded. No errors. And we're through the first third of this ball game. The Threshers trail 2-0 here on the Threshers Broadcast Network.
Please, 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 please
Another rehabber coming to the mound for the Marauders. They lead 2-0, and Braxton Ashcraft exits the game ahead, but not in line for the victory. A solid rehab start for Ashcraft. And he will not end the game with a victory, but a solid start on the road to recovery. Kent Emmanuel, also an injury rehab, will face Marion Boyd, Chad Castillo, and Cade Fergus. This one is hit right up the middle by Boyd, backhanded by the second baseman, fires to first for the out. A nice play by Jesus Castillo for out number one as Marion Boyd, has swung at the first pitch, not something that is uncommon. Each of the last two games he has done so. Both times he's done it, one has ended on a single, one has ended on a ground out, as we just saw. So one pitch, one out for Kent Emmanuel. And now Chad Castillo in the box, spits on a breaking ball, count 1-0. The pitch, called strike as the breaking ball settles over the heart of the plate. A 1-1 count to Castillo. Ashcraft, 3 innings pitched, 1 hit allowed, and that was about it. 5 strikeouts, no walks, no runs scored, as Castillo swings and misses at a breaking ball. He changed speeds really well, did Ashcraft, and Kent Emmanuel is looking to do the same thing. The pitch, swing and a miss. Castillo might have gotten a piece of it, but any way you slice it, it's the 6K of the day for Marauders pitching first for Kent Emmanuel. So two gone for Cade Fergus, who swings and misses for a called strike. Swing and a miss, and there's strike two. Emmanuel was signed as a minor league free agent by the Pirates back in February of 2023. He had some injury troubles when he was here in the Phillies organization. The 0-2. Swing and a miss, there's strike three. 2 straight strikeouts, and the road to recovery looking pretty bright for the former Phillies farmhand in Kent Emmanuel. Tell you more about him in the top half of the fifth, but first, at the bottom of the fourth, with a 2-0 lead for Bradenton here on the Threshers Broadcast Network. Yoniel Ramirez is back out for the bottom half of the fourth inning. Still pitching with a deficit, but this will be the first time He gets a full inning of work. Got one out. After allowing a single and two walks in the third. The run not charged to him, as now both starters are officially finished for the evening. Or afternoon. I never know what time of day it is. 9-1-2 coming up for the Marauders. Giovanni Planchart leads off the frame. He takes a look at a breaking ball that's in there for a called strike. Ramirez has been pretty consistent with the speed on his pitches. Pretty much everything hovering around 90 through 92. As there's some right-handed action in the Marauders bullpen warming now. Hit right back up the middle by Planchart through Ramirez to Kemp to Castillo for out number one. Did not touch the glove of Ramirez, but almost poked a hole in him. As there's now one out here in the fourth inning. Emmanuel Terrero will come up to the plate for the third time. Terrero, the leadoff hitter in every game thus far for the Marauders, takes the first pitch outside for ball one. He struck out his last time up to end off the second inning. One of the three Ks from Braden Fosnock. He's 0 for 2 today. The 1-0. Swing and a miss. And there is strike one. Four strikeouts last night, so five in the last 2 days. Hasn't reached base since the fourth inning walk that earned him an RBI back on opening night. Hit on the ground and foul. Ricocheted off of a whole lot of people, and it's 1-2. All ground outs on Friday, all strikeouts yesterday, and now he's got one of each. Ramirez ahead of the count, 1-2. As Terrero still searches for his first hit. Outside on the breaker, looking to get a swinging strike, and Terrero did not chase. But Disson, once again, doing a good job keeping a tough pitch out in front of him. 2-2 now to Terrero. Ramirez from the stretch deals. Outside again. The count runs full at 3-2. Infield back, particularly Otto Kemp at second base, who's as close as you can get to the outfield grass. That one ricochets off the shin of Ramirez, fielded by Castillo, and he's going to tag out Terrero for out number two. So, score that a 1-3. And there are two gone now in the fourth. Two nothing a lead for the Marauders. They scored their runs in the second and third innings. A sac fly and RBI walk, both coming from Davis Nadal. He's got three RBIs already this season. Brannigan walked in the first and struck out in his last at bat. Has scored a run, but has not driven one in yet as he takes a look at a slider on the outside corner for a called strike one. Brannigan, a strikeout victim in four pitches his last time up. That's how the third inning began, was the last strikeout of the day for Fosnock, as this one is wrapped foul down the third baseline and stopped by the manager, count 0-2, excuse me. So Kemp, back deep in the infield dirt, shaded about as far up the middle as you can get. Rest the infield back a bit, but at pretty normal spacing, as the breaking ball misses low, count 1-2. Brannigan, a Notre Dame product, his teammates in South Bend, Indiana, at one of the most historic universities in the country. Teammates with Alex Rayo, who on Friday night was one batter away from having an all-fighting Irish matchup on the mound and at the plate. So Terrero got the last out of the eighth inning on Friday, and that matchup was unable to happen. So was connecting with that pitch. Brannigan swings and misses on a nasty slider from Yoniel Ramirez. He's got his second strikeout of the day. Second strikeout as a member of the Phillies organization, and gets a 1-2-3 fourth inning. We're heading to the fifth here in Bradenton. The Threshers looking to come back. It's 2-0 Marauders here on the Threshers Baseball Broadcast Network. The rehabbing portion of the pitching staff is finished for Bradenton as Kent Emanuel will head back to the dugout in line for the victory, and he'll be replaced on the mound by J.P. Massey. 23-year-old as of April Fool's Day, 2022 seventh-round pick out of Minnesota, 6'5", threw 51 and a third innings for the Golden Gophers in 2022. Struck out 63 batters with a 6.52 ERA. He will make his first appearance for the Bradenton Marauders. This is also his professional debut. Like a couple of players, especially the pitchers, you don't see a lot of guys throw too many innings in their debut season just to give them a bit more of a rest and get them a fresh start for their pro debut. You see it all around the minor leagues, and you see the Pirates doing that with J.P. Massey, a guy that they felt confident enough to take in the seventh round of last year's draft, and the righty Massey facing the lefty Jordan Vyers. Vyers pops this one up into the stands and foul, count 0-1. Vyers got his first hit of the season in the first at-bat of his game, a single back in the second inning, so he's one for one. And it's the only hit of the game thus far for the Threshers. Here's Massey. Fastball upstairs, eye level for Vyers, so it's 1-1. Massey, a four-pitch mix, fastball, curve, a slider, and a changeup. Here's the 1-1. Vyers thought about it, but lets it go. 95-mile-an-hour heater dipped a bit low and inside, and now the count's 2-1. Marauders lead it 2-0. Five hits for Bradenton, one for Clearwater. Massey deals. Inside on the fastball again, and now the count is 3-1. Vyers went 0-for in his first game, and now he is a ball away from reaching base for the second consecutive at-bat. Now the 3-1. Upstairs, but it settles in for a strike. Vyers thought it was ball four, and now the count is full at 3-2. His hit was the only base runner the Threshers had so far this game. They went down in order in the first, third, and fourth innings. This one is hit to short. Easy play for Rivas. We'll skip towards first and make the out for the first out of the fifth.
Second baseman, Otto.
Nine consecutive outs since Vyers reached in the second inning with a single. Now that'll bring up Otto Kemp at a well-hit fly ball out to center field that Trace Gonzalez tracked down and caught. Swing and a miss. It brushed a little bit with the end of its bat. Either way, it's an 0-1 count. Kemp getting his second start of the season. Scored the first run of the year for the Threshers off a Cade Fergus double in the seventh inning of Friday's game. As Kemp holds up the swing, appeal over to first base. Kemp asks for it. The umpire gives it, and it's a strike two. Twelve games for Clearwater last season. He went 5-39. He's 1-3 on Friday. And this one is tapped down the third baseline, a slow roller, fielded with a glove by Nadal, no play at first base. And for his second game, Otto Kemp has a single. His single came in the third inning of Friday night's game, and now a one-out single here in the fifth to bring up Jordan Disson. Disson struck out looking on three pitches back in the second, but he's looked really strong behind the plate. Only seen him throw to second in the warm-up period as Massey gets a called strike there on Disson, 96-mile-an-hour heater. But behind the plate, he's had to deal with a couple of balls that were not easy to block, and he has done it expertly well. Really, nothing has gone by Disson, as that one is a slow, high bouncer down the third base line. It'll land in foul territory, so Kemp will return to first, and Disson will return to the batter's box with once again, an 0-2 count. Saddleback College, a guy, a big proponent of the JUCO route, and the man who really understands where he is in his career. And potentially a chance to play for Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic that was this past March as the slider misses outside 1-2. I asked him if it was something that interested him, and he said, yeah, definitely, just not at this point in my career right now. Definitely wanted to keep focused on this season. This is his first professional season, and leave the catching duties on Israel to the Stubbs brothers and Ryan LaVarnway, all of them with seasoned experience in pro ball, as Disson taps that foul. But he said, as he said, and as I'm sure you baseball fans out there know, next World Classic is in 4 years. At that point, Disson will be around 23, 24, certainly a possibility that we'll see him suiting up for USA or Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic. 1-2. This one is hit the other way, and there's the first hit of the season for Jordan Disson. Back-to-back singles for the Threshers, and the tying run is on first base. A really hard-hit ball by the Clearwater catcher to bring up Fraylin Minnietti. As out from behind the plate comes Clan Chart to give some signs to the infield, showing them where to shift. Slight pinch inward from the corner infielders, but the middle infield, Rivas and Castillo, are at double play depth. Shaded more towards the middle, particularly Jesus Castillo, who is holding Kemp on second base. First pitch to Minnietti's a called strike. He grounded out back in the third inning. And now faces an 0-1 count. A big lead from Disson at first because no one's holding him on the bag. Smaller lead at second from Kemp as that one sliced foul and that'll land on top of the netting close to the Marauders' dugout. And it's a quick 0-2 count to Minnietti. Minnietti, 1-for-2 yesterday with two walks on the day. He's 1-for-3 on the season. Got the first hit of the ball game and the first run in the third inning on Saturday night. Massey looks over at second base. A second look in the 0-2. Minnietti lets it go, missing low and inside, and the count's 1-2. Really good plate discipline. That was one of those that looked like it was in until the very last second. Minnietti was taking all the way, though. 1-2 count, one out, two on, 2-0 the lead for Bradenton. Massey deals. Swing and a miss. There's strike three, attack for safety by Giovanni Planchard. Two outs here in the top of the fifth inning to bring up the number nine hitter in Eric Brito. Brito struck out swinging back in the third inning. And now has a chance to potentially tie this game. I'd say Disson has good enough speed that if Brito gets this one for extra bases, he could score from first, especially since he's not being held on at all by Wyatt Hendrick. Two outs, though, here in the fifth, as that one misses inside. Ball one, as Brito lets go of a breaking ball. He struck out on a 2-2 count his last time up. him and Crawford are the only people who have not changed anything in all three games. Each of them have been in the 9-1 spots during this entire series as Brito holds up and it's a 2-0 count. The only change for Brito was the move over to shortstop this time. He was second baseman on Friday and Saturday, staying in the 9 hole but playing at shortstop for today's contest. Massey deals the 2-0 upstairs. It gets out of the glove for a second. The runners will stay. And Planchard is going to get a new ball from the umpire as Brito has a 3-0 count. He's got a hit in each of the first two games, looking to make an on-base streak of three and potentially load up the bases if he does so. Three balls and no strikes to Brito. Massey deals. Fastball misses outside, and it's a four-pitch walk with two outs to Eric Brito. And that's going to move the runners along and load up the bases for Justin Crawford. Otto Kemp is at third. Jordan Disson is at second. And Eric Brito is on first base. As now it looks like the pitching coach for Bradenton, Matt Ford, will come out. Actually, that might be Johnston's. I think I saw a point towards the bullpen. There is a right-hander warming up in the pen, but it appears that Massey is going to stay out there. Umpire comes from behind home plate. That's Shea Graham, who's going to come and break up the mound meeting. Massey making his pro debut, just getting a little vote of support from his pitching coach. And he will remain on the mound. Quick update around the Phillies system. The Phillies looking for a sweep of the Reds after they presented their National League Championship trophy from last season. They're currently at Citizens Bank Park, up 3-2, up 4-2 now in the bottom of the fifth. Breaking ball misses outside to Justin Crawford, and the count is 1-0. And the rest of the Phillies system, Richmond leads Reading 5-3. They're looking for the sweep. And it's a scoreless ball game in Brooklyn with Jersey Shore up at the plate in the top of the fourth. Breaking ball in there for a called strike, and it's a 1-1 count to Crawford, who struck out in each of his first two plate appearances. Crawford 1-for-4 in each of the past two games with a run scored and ended up errantly at first base for two other runs scored. Called strike on a breaker makes it 1-2 to Crawford. And he's got the bases loaded with two outs with a go-ahead run on first. 2-0 the lead for Bradenton as Crawford awaits the pitch. Massey deals. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And that ball bounced. Home plate is tagged on the drop third strike, so we didn't have to throw it to first base. So two back-to-back hits with one out in the fifth inning for Clearwater, but the Threshers leave them loaded after a two-out walk and then a strikeout of Justin Crawford. We're halfway home here in Bradenton. The Threshers are down 2-0. We'll head to the bottom of the fifth when we come back here on the Threshers Baseball Network.
sitting on the bottom half of the deck.
We have a new pitcher on the mound for Clearwater. Third of the day for the Threshers as Yoniel Ramirez's night is done. And that puts Jack Dallas on the mound, a former two-way athlete at a Lamar University. First pitch of the season for Dallas is in there for a called strike. As Javier Rivas, who has two base hits today, has now an 0-1 count. Almost hit Rivas, and that is ball one. 2-0 the score, Threshers in the lead, 1-1. Hit the other way and foul, that's going to be a souvenir, and now it'll be a 2-2 count to Rivas, who has yet to be retired today. Dallas, an undrafted free agent out of Lamar University, just chose to stay close to home for college ball. The 1-2 fouled away again. But he is more than just a baseball player. He's also a football player. For the first 2 years, he played for Lamar University after a stellar high school football career. 1-2 rocketed right back up the middle on the ground, and that's three hits today for Javier Rivas. He is just swinging the bat really well, getting some contact. Three appearances and three singles for the Bradenton shortstop to bring up Wyatt Hendrick. And for Dallas, you see a lot of baseball players who also played some football. Or really, it's vice versa. Drew Henson is a name that comes to mind, the Michigan quarterback that started over Tom Brady. Chose to forego a potential NFL draft to try and make it with the Yankees, which he did not. And his former backup, Tom Brady, did pretty well for his career. He was also drafted by the Expos. The last player to be drafted by the Expos to be playing in professional sports until he retired a couple months ago. Wyatt Hendry now at the plate with a 2-0 count. And Jack Dallas showing off his two-way talents, making his season debut for the Threshers. The pitch upstairs, and that one is now 3-0. Six games, all out of the bullpen for Clearwater last season. 7 2/3 innings pitched, one save, 5 walks, and 10 strikeouts. Opponents hit under 100 against him. So a really solid pro debut season. But there he walked Hendry to put two runners on with nobody out. That'll bring up Trace Gonzalez, who was also homered in consecutive at-bats. He also stole a base and scored a run back in the second inning. So, a five-pitch arsenal for Dallas, a two-seamer, sinker, cutter, slider, and a changeup, getting his first action of the year. Nobody out, two runners on, 2-0 Bradenton. Dallas looks at second, sends it home, bunt pulled back for a ball by Trace Gonzalez. So, for Yoniel Ramirez, pitched an inning and a third, allowed one hit, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Breaking ball in there for a strike. Now the count is even at 1-1. Dallas deals. This one is hit to short. Flip to second by Brito. Kemp on to first, and there's a double play. A huge DP turn for the Threshers. And now there's 2 outs here in the bottom of the fifth inning. 6-4-3 for the second time today. And now what once looked like a big jam is just a matter of getting the man out. Gonzalez retired for the first time in the game today. He had 2 hits prior to that at bat, and now Jesus Castillo, who has yet to be retired as well, is due up. The pitch in there for a called strike. Looked like that two-seamer. A lot of his pitches have cutting action inside, due Dallas. Now the 0-1. 1-1 now. Runner on third base is Javier Rivas, who is been just Mr. Base Hit today for the Marauders. The pitch. Close one, but it misses outside, 2-1. Fastball claps the glove at 92 miles an hour, and Dallas, after putting the first two runners on, is a strike away from getting out of the inning. The pitch. Hit the other way, foul. We'll do it again. We'll go over the netting. Left field side. Castillo singled in the second, walked in the third. Never made it past second base, though, today. The 2-2. Hit high in the air and fell. Rivas on third. Castillo at the plate. Dallas on the mound. 2-0 Marauders. The 2-2. This is popped high in the air down the third base line, and it's quickly called out. Three pitches now with two strikes fouled off by Jesus Castillo. This is about to be pitch number 8 from Jack Dallas. Fouled away again. That's really a good way to become a hitter. You just gotta know when to swing and know when to lay up. That is exactly what Castillo is doing. He's fouling off the tough pitches and laying off the good ones. This one is hit up the middle. Diving stop by Brito. He scoops and fires to first for out number 3. Couple of really nice plays made in the field by Eric Brito, and including that one, which did save a run. End of 5 here in Bradenton. A double play changes the landscape of the inning, but no run score for Bradenton on a hit, no errors, and one left. We're through 5 here at the Cobb Ballpark. You're listening to the Threshold Broadcast Network. Top of the 6th inning here in Bradenton. The Threshers trailing 2-0, and Amarion Boyd leading off the frame against J.P. Massey. He'll waste no time and send the first pitch home, which misses below the knees of Boyd, to make it 1-0. Boyd, in his 4th game for the Threshers, 2 last year, and this is the 2nd this season, the 1-0. Breaking ball, low and away, 2-0. In his first game of the year for the Threshers, he's had a multi-hit game in each time. 5 hits combined in those 2 contests. Now the 2-0 pitch. Breaking ball bounces into the glove of Plansharp, and it's 3-0. He went 0-for in the game after his 3-hit day, back in 2022. And today, he is grounded out twice, so he's 0 for 2. 3-0. Misses low and away, so he's on base, as he has been in each of the past two games, and all but one of the games he's played with a thresher, but not a hit yet. In this case especially, though, a walk is as good as a hit. A powerful hitter in Chad Castillo is coming up, and he represents the tying run. 2-0 the score. Bradenton leads here in the top of the sixth inning. Now Massey taking some time to wait for the pitch. The pitch gets in there for a called strike, and Marion Boyd wanted to go just a little bit sooner. And you saw him clap his hands together like he's kicking himself for not going. Throw back to first is high. Leaping forward is Hendry. He has to make the catch. So it's an 0-1 count to Chad Castillo. 2 strikeouts in today's contest. Hasn't gotten a hit since game number 1. Boyd on first, certainly looking to steal. Dancing around, does not distract JP, but it's enough to make it a 1-1 count. Thought he was going to go on that first pitch. Part of the reason why he clapped his hands, I think, is he was just waiting for the right moment to jump over to second base, and it didn't find it because the pitcher was already throwing. The 1-1 misses inside, count 2-1. Lead off first from Boyd. And off he goes. The 1-1 is hit right back up the middle. Flip to second. Not in time. And no throw over to first. So the hit and run works as well as it can, because you got the tying run in Chad Castillo on first base. I'm not sure what they're going to rule that play, though. It doesn't look like it was an error. That was just Boyd speeding. And it looks like it was Rivas who didn't make that play and didn't think about throwing it to first right off the bat and just letting Boyd have second. But either way, there is one gone here. Wait, no, either way, there's nobody out. Bases will be loaded. Cade Fergus is hit in the head by the axe by an accident. Don't know if that was the catcher in plan chat, or if it was the pitcher, but good sportsmanship shown, making sure that Minietti is okay. And the infield's coming in, and out comes the pitcher. Loading the bases with nobody out is all Johnny Johnston needs to take his pitcher out. And working quickly is Shea Graham. As he's walking up to try and break up the mound meeting. Take you around the major leagues. Just about every other score, starting, of course, with the Phillies. Still 4-2, but now it's in the bottom of the sixth inning. Red Sox leading the Tigers in the top of the eighth. The score is 3-1. Rays lead the Athletics 6-0. It looked like they're going to achieve some history by being the first 9-0 team in quite some time. Pirates are beating the Padres. Yankees lead the Orioles 4-0 in the sixth. And now Jordan Vyers is up here in the sixth for the Threshers. And here home comes Boyd, diving towards the plate. Does he avoid the slide? Oh, he does! A Marion Boyd, the contortionist, going around the tag and getting the first run for the Threshers. Some Javi Baez-style magic for a Marion. Meanwhile, the two runners advance, and out of the dugout comes Johnny Johnston to try and explain to the home plate umpire in Shea Graham that he thought the runner was out. So it's Fergus at the... So Fergus got hit by the pitch. He's at second. Castillo's on third. And Viers is at the plate with a 1-0 count. Fergus got hit so quick, I didn't even see it was him at the bat. So it's 1-0 on the wild pitch, and it's 2-1 the score, with the Marauders still hanging on to a slim lead. Now the tying runs at third, and the go-ahead runs on second. 1-0, cut on and miss, looking for speed, found a breaking ball, and it's now 1-1 to Jordan Viers. First wild pitch of the season for J.P. Massey, and for Boyd, the second time he scored a run. So it'll be an 0-2 count now to Viers. Or sorry, a 1-1 count now to Viers. And the pitch. I guess I was right. It was 0-2. Maybe that was the argument that Johnny Johnston was making, that the wild pitch was still should have been called a strike. So, there's the first down of the inning, as Viers is down on three straight strikes. Forgive me for my mistake. Otto Kemp will come up to the plate. The go-ahead runs on second. Infield is all the way in. And the first pitch to Kemp fouled away. Kemp singled his last time up. With Fergus's speed on second base, a single could very well give the Threshers the lead here. You got the corners of each outfield wide open for Kemp. And as I mentioned before, the infield pinched all the way in to try and prevent the runner at home from going. Breaking ball inside, and the count is 1-1. Kemp 1-for-2 today. And on Friday, he was 1-for-3 with a walk. So he's reached base three times in four plate appearances. So swing and a miss at that. And a new ball will be taken from the home plate umpire by Giovanni Planchard. So 1-2 count to Kemp. Fergus is on second. And on third is Chad Castillo. Marauders lead it 2-0. They're also out hitting the Threshers 6-3. Swing and a miss, strike three. A strikeout for J.P. Massey, two straight. And now 2 outs here in the sixth. That's going to bring up Jordan Dissing. A chance to really make an impact in his first full season of professional baseball. The pitch. Swing and a miss behind the breaking ball. I think Massey has figured out that the hitters are looking for his fastball. So he's been pumping in some more breaking stuff over the last few at-bats. That looping curve was pretty tough to hit. Now the next pitch of the at-bat, another breaking ball, another called strike. Massey, a strike away from getting out of the Threshers' best opportunity, relatively unscathed. Boyd scored on a wild pitch, but now two runners are stranded at second and third. 0-2 once again. Bouncing in front of the plate, home comes Kemp. The throw to the pitcher, not in time, and the ball gets past him. Kemp scores the game, Castillo scores the game, it's tied. Fergus scored, and the Threshers take the lead. A wild pitch and an errant throw scores two runs, and just like that, the Threshers are in front for the first time today. Two wild pitches allow two runs, and I believe, I don't know if the error is going to be on the catcher or the pitcher, but there's definitely an error that gives a third run to Clearwater. This one is corkscrewed to the first baseman. Massey will cover the bag and tag it for out number three, but the damage is very much done. Two wild pitches and three runs score for Clearwater. They don't leave anyone on. They didn't even get a hit this inning. But they do have the lead. We'll head into the bottom of the sixth inning. 3-2, the Threshers in front. Jack Dallas will stay on for the Threshers, and now Clearwater is in line for the victory after a bizarre sequence at the end of that sixth inning resulted in a three-run swing. So let's just take you through it. Marion Boyd led off with a walk. He was unable to take it out at second on a hit and run that ended up in a fielder's choice for Chad Castillo. So two on, nobody out. Then Cade Fergus was hit by a pitch as Davis Nadal takes the first pitch at the bottom of the sixth for a called strike issued by Jack Dallas. Viers struck out. And then a pair of wild pitches scored two runs as Nadal dummies a bunt and pulls back, but it's a called strike anyway, quickly 0-2. Two wild pitches, and they ruled the error on Giovanni Planchart, the catcher, that allowed Cade Fergus to score. So it's 3-2 Threshers on a couple of wild pitches and a poor toss from the catcher back to the pitcher covering at home. All this happened with Jordan Disson at the plate, as that's fouled backwards to keep the count at 1-2. So it's 3-2 Threshers now, and it's a 1-2 count to Davis Nadal, who has driven in both runs for Bradenton so far today. Here's the 1-2. Hit off the end of the bat and fouled down the third baseline. Count will remain 1-2. Nadal, three RBIs on the season. So he has directly accounted for three of the five runs that Bradenton has scored this year. Now the 1-2. Breaking ball, missing low, and the count evens at 2-2. But Nadal doesn't have an official at bat today, despite having the two RBIs. He had a sacrifice fly to Cade Fergus, although that was close to not being a sacrifice fly. Tres Gonzalez stored on that play. 2-2 is hammered down the right field line. It will stay fair, and that's going to get into the corner. Nadal had the first two RBIs of the Warriors this season, and he's going to stand up at third base with the first extra base hit for Bradenton this year. A leadoff triple, and now the tying run is 90 feet from home plate. First official at bat for Nadal with a sack fly and a second bases-loaded walk of the season. And now, a rocket of a triple down the right field line. So the Threshers infield will come in. And actually, that's going to be changed to a double, as Nadal is going to go back to second base. The ball must have got stuck in the corner, so it was probably ruled a ground rule double. And there's a defensive substitution for the Threshers. Amarion Boyd is in right, and Gabriel Rincones Jr. is in left field with Cade Fergus coming out of the game. So Fergus should hit fourth, Rincones Jr. should hit fourth, replacing Fergus. As Bishop takes the pitch low to make it 1-1. Maybe Fergus got injured sliding into home to score that go-ahead run. Couldn't really see. There's no clear signs as to why he has been taken off, but that is the shift. Bunt dummy by Bishop, and it misses 2-1. So again, Amarion Boyd is in right. Fergus is no longer in the game, and Gabriel Rincones Jr. comes in left field, replacing Cade Fergus here in the bottom of the sixth. 2-1, bunted off the plate, and now the count's 2-2. Two-two count to Bishop. Bunt no longer in play, and the pitch upstairs. Count runs full. Nadal still on second base, as his play officially is ruled a ground rule double. Kind of a jutting out corner out in right field. Payoff pitch called strike three. Beautiful curveball from Jack Dallas. There's a big first out of the inning for the Threshers. They hang on to a one-run lead. And now there's one out for Giovanni Planchard. He's 0-2 today and did have the error that allowed the winning run Fergus to score. Breaking ball in there for a called strike at the knees of Planchard, who grounded out his last time up. I do see Fergus in the dugout. No wraps, nothing on his hand or legs. Could be precautionary. That one is lined into the gap in left field, and Fergus slips and makes the catch. Kind of a half slide, half dive, and Fergus goes down on his stomach to make a nice two-out grab. The Marauders have really hit the ball hard this inning, but some great defense by Gabriel Rincones Jr. makes the second out. That's a heck of an introduction into the game for Rincones, who had a day off today. Played as a left fielder and a DH in each of the first two games. First pitch to Emmanuel Torreira was fouled back. Count over. Try to keep an eye on the Fergus situation. He was the starting right fielder in each of the three games. Moved around a bit in the lineup. But the outfield here in Clearwater is very deep. 0-1 to Torreira. Tapped on the ground to first. Field on a couple of hops by Castillo. He'll tag the bag for the final out of the inning. So a leadoff ground rule double by Davis Nadal turns out to be for nothing, as the Threshers get three quick outs thanks to Jack Dallas and his defense. So no runs on a hit, no one left, and no errors made by the Threshers. And at the end of six, the Threshers lead 3-2. Thank you. So an update on the Cade Fergus situation. There was an exodus of a couple pitchers into the Threshers bullpen, and with those guys leaving down the left field foul line, Cade Fergus headed back to the clubhouse or the locker room
with the head athletic trainer Samantha Myers
for the Threshers. So Fergus obviously won't be back in the game, but he's going to get a closer look at whatever the injury was. And the Threshers, though, still in the lead, but you never like to see an injury, especially to a guy who has been a key fixture of the starting lineup for the entirety of this young season. So hopefully Fergus will be healthy for the home opening series. But for now, Fraylin Minnietti hits the ball out to short. Charging is the shortstop, and a high throw. Did he step on the bag? Yes, he did. Rivas's high throw forced Hendry to jump off the bag, but he got back on it just a step before Minnietti made it to first base. So one pitch and one out for J.P. Massey here in the seventh, and it's still a 3-2 lead for the Threshers. Three runs on three hits for Clearwater, two runs on seven hits with an error for Bradenton. First pitch to Brito, a straight take and a called strike. Fastball buzzing the outside corner at 95 miles an hour. Next pitch to Brito. He lets that go too, but that bounces into the glove of Blanchard, and the count is now 1-1. Brito reached base in each of his first three games this season, walked in his last at-bat, struck out in the third. Now the 1-1. Hit up the middle, bounces over the head of Massey, fielded by the second baseman, jump throw by Castillo, not in time, as Brito speeds on to first base and extends his hit streak to three straight games. He's reached base in each of his last two at-bats. The last two hits he's had have been infield singles. Showing off the wheels is Eric Brito, and now there's a man on first for Justin Crawford. Infield's going to shift to double play depth. The pull side, though, of Crawford wide open as Castillo shaded more towards the middle to try and prevent the double play. High fastball popping up is planned sharp, but back to first goes Brito. No back pick attempted, no steal attempted. It's a 1-0 count to the Phillies' top-ranked hitting prospect. Crawford, though, has struck out three times so far today. Off goes Brito. Crawford swings and misses, and Brito slides in safely at second. I'm not sure if they're going to call that a foul ball or not, but it looks like that Brito is into second with his first stolen base of the season. He had 15 and 21 attempts last year, and he is going to stay on the second base back. So a swing and a miss strike for Crawford and stolen base for Eric Brito puts an insurance run in scoring position for the Threshers. The 1-1. Crawford can't handle that. Swing and a miss on the breaking ball to make it 1-2. So I think it appears stolen bases are going to be a big part of the Threshers' offense this season. Why wouldn't they be? A whole lot of speed on this offense. Some good power that has yet to reveal itself, and Crawford certainly a guy with that raw power. Massey looking at the dancing Brito. 1-2 is inside, and the ball gets past Hendry. Going to roll all the way to the backstop, so Eric will walk to third base with the third wild pitch of the day for J.P. Massey. So now it's a 2-2 count to Justin Crawford. And 90 feet away from a 4-2 ball game is Eric Brito. A righty warming up in the pen for Clearwater. And a 2-2 to Crawford. Swing and a miss. Fourth strikeout of the day. Another drop third strike. And I think it's actually just a foul ball. Or no, there was a runner on base, so it couldn't be a drop third strike. So, four strikeouts on the day for Justin Crawford. And now Omarion Boyd, who scored the first of three runs in the sixth, will come up to bat again. He's now the right fielder as he takes the first pitch into right field. No, a sliding stop by Hendry. Flips back to the pitcher, and Massey tags the bag for out number three. A run-saving sliding stop by Wyatt Hendry, flashing the leather at first base to keep this game at 3-2. So the Threshers don't put a run on board in the seventh, do get a hit and leave one runner stranded. No errors, and John Henriquez will come on to pitch the bottom of the seventh. Let's stretch it out here in Bradenton. Threshers lead it 3-2. So for the first time in the United States of America in his professional career, John Henriquez will get out of the bullpen and get on the mound for the Clearwater Threshers. In his second season as a pro, played five games in the Dominican Summer League last year, two earned runs and six innings of work, an 0-2 record, but two saves for Henriquez. So a guy certainly familiar with these big late game situations, and he's going to need to help the Threshers hold on against Jack Brannigan, Javier Rivas, who's 3-for-3, and Wyatt Hendry. Brannigan and Hendry are both 0-for-2 with a walk, and Henriquez will make his first pitch as a pro in the U.S. Swing and a miss, blows the fastball by Brannigan, count 0-1. Henriquez, a four-pitch mix, a four-seamer, change, slider, and a cutter. Certainly a hard thrower out of San Francisco de Macorís, as the slider misses outside to make it a 1-1 count. Henriquez, though, hasn't been around the game of baseball as long as many people who make it to this level. 1-1. Hit on the ground to short, a couple steps to the right for Brito, fires to first for out number one. Now bring up Javier Rivas, who's 3-for-3, but getting back to Henriquez. He only started playing baseball at 12 years old, and there aren't a lot of guys who make it to this level, especially as a pitcher, who picked up the game at that old an age. Most guys start a lot younger and just need a lot of extra time to get to the level you need to be to pitch in the minor leagues. Javier Rivas swings and misses a cutter to make it 0-1. Now the pitch from Henriquez. Cutter again, 0-2. Kept the bat on the shoulder there. Rivas, 3-for-3. Three singles and a run scored for him. Henriquez deals. This is hit high in the air, tailing towards the foul line out in right field. Boyd is chasing. That ball goes over the netting, and Rivas will have to come back to the batter's box. There aren't too many other players who start baseball near their teenage years, but Henriquez said that it was difficult for him to start before he turned 12. I know that there's only one other player that I have worked with. That's Aaron Whitefield, currently with the Rocket City Trash Pandas, Angels AA affiliate, as the 0-2 to Rivas, called strike three. Freezing Rivas with a breaking ball down the middle. And that is the first out of the inning, or second out of the inning. Welcome to America, John Henriquez. So two gone here in the seventh to bring up Wyatt Hendry. Whitefield's story is very different from Henriquez. He started playing softball and switched to baseball at 18, turned pro in Australia and then in the United States. He was part of that very strange no-hitter, as the Threshers weren't the only team with a no-no last night. 1-0. Hit into the netting and fell. Last night, the Trash Pandas played the Chattanooga Lookouts. The Trash Pandas threw a no-hitter, but lost 7-5. 1-1. High chopper up the middle. Henriquez fields it, flips it to first. Castillo squeezes, and it's a 1-2-3 seventh inning. A strong season debut for John Henriquez. A strikeout and two groundouts to retire the Bradenton Marauders in order. We're all stretched out, and there's two more innings of baseball to play in at least regulation time. The Threshers lead it 3-2 heading into the eighth. New inning, new pitcher for the Marauders. After a long relief outing from J.P. Massey, he'll head back to the dugout and give way for another right-hander on the Marauders' staff. Junior Thibault will be getting the start, his first of the season in his second straight year with Bradenton. 6'4 free agent signing out of Sabana Grande de Boya in the Dominican Republic. 53 innings for the Marauders last year, just over a strikeout per frame. 55 Ks, 36 walks, and 7 saves in a 4.42 ERA. He is making his season debut. We'll do so against Chad Castillo, Gabriel Rincones Jr., and Jordan Viers. First pitch to Castillo is a fastball in there for a called strike. That one landed on the outside corner at the knees of Castillo, who has struck out twice, reached on a fielder's choice, and scored on a wild pitch. 0-1. Foul tip off the catcher's mask, well, off the top of the catcher's mask and the glove. A lot of deflections that ball took, and now it's 0-2. Castillo reached on that fielder's choice when the second baseman, Jesus Castillo, tried to get out Amarion Boyd at second base, but he was already stealing, and it's just too fast anyway. 0-2, foul tip, and we'll do it again. So Castillo was on first successfully, and then he moved to second on a wild pitch, then third, and then third on a wild pitch, and end up scoring a run. He was the tying run in last night in the sixth inning. But now he faces the 0-2. That is hit high in the air, deep out to right field, and that is gone. First homer of the year for the Threshers, and it's Chad Castillo who plants one in the Marauders' bullpen to make it 4-2. A rocket off the bat that Emmanuel Torero gave up on pretty easily. Castillo's fourth career home run as a pro and first of the season, and it could not have come at a better time. Rincones gets his first appearance of the day. He came in left field after Cade Fergus had to leave early due to an apparent injury. His first at-bat of the day, still looking for his first pro hit. This one is fisted into right field. Terrero won't give up on this one. Inches to his right to make the one-handed grab for the first out of the inning. So Rincones does have an RBI in his pro career. That happened last night. And still waiting on that first hit. He might get a chance if this game goes on a bit longer. But Jordan Fires coming up to the plate, who got his first hit of the season back in the second inning. He's 1-for-3 today with a single and a strikeout. One gone here in the eighth as Fires swings and misses at a looping curveball. 0-1 for the number 13 prospect on the list right behind Omarion Boyd in the MLB prospects, MLB.com's top 30. Breaking ball misses outside, count 1-1. Fires another guy with good power, and we finally saw some of it with Castillo's home run two batters ago. Swing and a miss on a low heater, and it's 1-2. Just the second extra base hit of the season. Cade Fergus, who appears to remain in the dugout with the head athletic trainer, Sam Myers, as Fires fouls this one back. Count stays at 1-2. Fergus hit an RBI double back in game one. And now Chad Castillo with a no-doubt home run, a laser over the right field wall to give the Threshers a 4-2 lead. Fires swings and misses, tagged for safety, and there's the second out of the eighth. Two Ks in consecutive at-bats for Jordan Fires. That's the first strikeout of the season for Junior Thibault. That'll bring up Otto Kemp, who's 1-for-3, singled in each of his two games that he's played, did not play in yesterday's contest. Takes a look at an outside fastball to make it 0-1. Two-seamer for Thibault has a lot of movement. The pitch. Upstairs, count 1-1. 97 and 96, the first two pitches to Otto Kemp here. 1-1. Just tipped foul ahead of the breaking ball, and it's now 1-2 to Kemp. Mason Ronan looks like he's just starting his warm-ups in the Threshers bullpen. The 1-2 misses upstairs, count 2-2. Right now, it's just him standing and tossing with the bullpen catcher. So I'd expect Henriquez to come out for the eighth and then maybe Ronan to close it out. 2-2 is tapped right back to the mound, not moving much as Thibault. He'll send to first, the squeeze by Hendry, and that's the inning. But this inning certainly started with a bang. A solo shot from Chad Castillo gave the Threshers a two-run advantage. They lead it 4-2 heading into the bottom of the eighth. So John Henriquez is back on the mound for Clearwater, and he will face Tres Gonzalez, Jesus Castillo, and Davis Nadal. Henriquez, a really solid American debut inning. Did not need a whole lot of pitches with a strikeout and two easy groundouts. So now the Marauders center fielder, who's got two hits today, will step up to the plate. He takes a look at a fastball for a called strike. Count is 0-1. For a guy who's only been playing baseball for 11 years, Henriquez throws pretty hard. Just two pitches under 90 miles an hour. And there was one of them, breaking ball that missed outside. Count 1-1. Henriquez working quickly. The pitch. Fastball just missing upstairs. 2-1. Henriquez just 23 years old, so definitely some potential to add more velocity onto his throws. Certainly a power pitcher, though. 2-1. Hit on the ground to second. Kemp doesn't need to move. He scoops it, fires. Castillo squeezes for the first out of the inning. Threshers need five more outs to secure a second straight victory, as you have action in both bullpens. Mason Ronan back throwing on the mound in the left field bullpen, and a right-hander getting loose for the Marauders out in right field. At home plate, though, it's Jesus Castillo coming up. He's 1-for-2 on the day with a walk. This is hit high in the air, foul down the left field line, and that's going to clang against the metal bleachers on the left field side, 0-1. Single in the second, walk in the third, and a ground out to short in the fifth for Jesus Castillo. This one is rolled over to third. A sliding stop by Minietti and a dime of a throw. Right on the money to Castillo for the second out. Fraylin Minietti has a really solid arm over at third base. And now there are two outs, and Henriquez pitching well to contact. Just 16 pitches and 12 strikes with two outs here in the eighth. Breaking ball misses upstairs to Davis Nadal, and it's 1-0. Nadal, a whole lot of firsts for the Threshers for the Marauders this season. Here's the 1-0. Swing and a miss, and it's 1-1. First player to drive in a run for the Marauders was Nadal. He walked in a run back in the first inning of Friday's game. First player with multiple RBIs in a game for the Marauders. He's done that today with a sacrifice fly and another bases-loaded walk in the second and third. Also, had the first extra base hit his last time up. There's a fastball right down Main Street to make it 1-2 to Nadal. Coming off of that, double down the third baseline. It was ruled a ground rule double as it just kind of got stuck in that little corner out and right. 1-2, wrapped foul, and that's fouled off the shin guard by Nadal. He's going to have to take a walk around the home plate circle as Shea Graham will walk the ball back to John Henriquez. So 1-2 to Nadal still, who's taking his time. Pitch clock has yet to start after he fouled that ball into himself, and now it does. Henriquez letting the clock get down to just 8 seconds before he releases the pitch that Nadal wraps foul once again. Fortunately, he didn't foul it off himself for the second time in a row. So the count's still 1-2. And Henriquez, in the stretch, deals. That is hit high in the air out to center field. Crawford eases backwards and makes the one-handed grab for the last out in the eighth inning. For the second straight frame, Henriquez sets the Marauders down in order to bring up the ninth inning. Clearwater looking to add some insurance runs in the top of the ninth. They lead it 4-2 here on the Threshers Broadcast Network.
Jerry Mitchell leaves, and now he goes to Amber Mitchell. So he once again, he was the Rodgers magazine's solo programmer. And he stole him on his Easter Sunday.
Another new pitcher on the mound for Bradenton, number 5, the forthcoming out of the bullpen for the Marauders. It is the 17th round pick of the Pirates back in 2021, and a guy who's pitched 50 innings for Bradenton last season, Carlos Lomeli, a 6'2 right-hander out of St. Mary's. Former WAC opponent of Caleb Ricketts, who's in the University of San Diego, conference at St. Mary's. More known for basketball, but a solid baseball program there. And Lomeli is the shining star of it. 50 innings pitched with the Marauders last season, 47 strikeouts with just 17 walks, and was second on the team with 6 saves in 2022 in his first full season as a professional. He will face the bottom third of the Threshers' order, Jordan Disson leading off, Fraylin Minnietti, and Eric Brito. Slider catches the outside corner, and Disson's fooled with a called strike. Disson got his first hit of his season back in the 5th inning. He's 1-for-3 on the day. And now faces the 0-1. That is hammered deep into left field. Going back is Bishop, and he'll settle under it 3 steps in front of the warning track to make the out. An absolute rocket of a liner from Disson, but just not enough distance. Disson will likely finish the day at 1-for-4 after the F7 goes to left, and Fraylin Minnietti comes up to the plate looking for his first hit of the day. He had a nice play over at third base in the last inning to get the second out of the frame. He's 0-for-3 today as he looks at an inside pitch and moves out of the way to make it 1-0. And Yeti, a solid utility infielder, but mainly used at third base. The 1-0 breaking ball settles on the outside corner for a called strike. 2 ground outs and a strikeout for Fraylin Minnietti, who's in his second straight game over at third base. Now the 1-1. Hit high in the air, foul down the right field side into the lot behind the main food stands here at LeCombe Ballpark. It's a 1-2 count to Minnietti, 1 out, and a 4-2 lead for the Threshers here in the 9th. The pitch. That is popped high in the air down the first baseline. Towards the net goes Hendry. He's going to let it go. That's going to clang off the roof. We'll keep it at 1-2. Minnietti drafted, or signed as an undrafted free agent in 2021 as he lets the curveball go outside 2-2 after a really strong campaign for the West Virginia Black Bears of the MLB Draft League. 327, 415, 449 slash line at the 2-2. That is hit high in the air and foul. It's going to land right by the main offices and the batting cages down past the right field wall. Still 2-2 to Minnietti. He averaged almost an RBI per game in the MLB Draft League. 23 ribbies, 27 games, and the Phillies snapped him up out of West Virginia, formerly a New York Penn League team. That was in the first year of the MLB Draft League back in 2021, so he was one of the first players coming out of that league to make it to the minors. 2-2. Breaking ball, sliding stop by the catcher in Planchart, but it's now a full count as Minnietti working the count full from what was once 0-2, or 1-2, excuse me. Here's the payoff. In on the ground to third, it goes under the third baseman's glove, but it's fielded by Rivas. He gets the throw in time and beats Minnietti by a step for the second out of the inning. A couple of times that it looked like the third baseman was going to make the play, but the shortstop gets the final call. Rivas called off Nadal. He made it look easy for out number 2. That's going to bring up Eric Brito, extending his hit streak to 3 straight games. Unless Crawford gets another at-bat, he'll be the only Thresher to have a hit in all 3 of these contests. Very good to have that kind of production out of the 9 hole for Clearwater. 0-1 count now as Lamelli from the stretch deals. Another fastball. This one hits the outside corner for a called strike two. Brito, in his 100th game with the Threshers over now two seasons. 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. There's strike three, and that ends the inning. So Lamelli sets down the Threshers in order, but Clearwater on the cusp of a second straight victory. They look to head back to Clearwater with a winning record, but first, three more outs. And in bottom of the ninth, that Clearwater hopes will belong to Mason Ronan, jogging in from the bullpen right now. We'll take a break, and I'll give you the bottom of the ninth inning coming up on the Threshers Broadcast Network. Bottom of the ninth inning, and the Threshers with their biggest lead of the season. Well, since last night. Biggest lead of the game, then. Still a two-run lead, 4-2, after the Chad Castillo home run in the eighth inning. And the ball is in the hands of Mason Ronan, a left-hander out of Asheville, Pennsylvania. Undrafted free agent in 2022 out of the College of Central Florida primarily. Another draft league alum, played for the State College Spikes, a 1-0 record of 4.73 ERA before being signed by the Phillies shortly after the MLB draft. On the same team as Josh Borka in State College, the Phillies' 16th round pick in the 2022 draft, and now teammates here with the Threshers. Braylon Bishop, Giovanni Planchart, and Emmanuel Torero will be the first three batters that Ronan will face in the ninth inning as he goes for a second consecutive save by Threshers bullpen arms, one of them belonging to Wesley Moore in the no-no last night, and Ronan looking for the other one. First pitch to Bishop is upstairs. It's a 1-0 count. Four-pitch mix for Mason Ronan, a four-seamer, curve, slider, and a splitter. Now the 1-0 outside, count 2-0. And Ronan, another interesting path to the big leagues. Initially began his college career with the Pittsburgh Panthers, his hometown school. Pitched 17 games for Pitt with a 1-0 record, 17 appearances, just one start, two seasons with Pitt, and an 8.63 ERA. Decided to transfer to the College of Central Florida after the COVID-shortened 2020 season. Four-pitch walk to Braylon Bishop here in the top of the ninth. And now the tying run will come to the plate in front of Giovanni Planchart. It was his error that allowed the Threshers to score the tying run back in that three-run sixth inning, most that they've put up in a frame this season. So Planchart hoping to get his first hit of the season and trying to avenge his own error. Bishop's got good speed out on first base and Planchart, a strikeout, a flyout, and a groundout in his three plate appearances today. So he's 0-3 playing in his second straight game. Was in first base last night and 0-3 then as well. So he's 0-6 on the season with a pair of strikeouts. Left on right ratchet, Ronan deals. A nice looking curveball with a solid drop to make it 0-1. That one caught the inside part of the plate. And that's the first strike of the game for Mason Ronan. Swing and a miss. There's strike two. Another breaking ball. Fooling plan chart and a correction that I did not notice. Nick Cimillo is the one on first base. He pinch hit for Braylon Bishop. So apologies to Nick, but it was Nick Cimillo who walked on four pitches and is now on first base. 0-2. Breaking ball missing inside. Count 1-2. Short lead off first for Cimillo. Ronan takes a look over, and now the 1-2. Fouled away. Plant chart stays alive. Playing sharp. Puerto La Cruz in Venezuela. In his first full season in the majors. Did he go? Appeal to first. Says he did. Strike three and a big strikeout to start off the ninth for Mason Ronan. So a runner still on first and the lineup card resets as Giovanni Planchart is struck out for the second time. Now Emmanuel Torero, who is 0 for his last 8 at-bats, including 5 strikeouts in that time frame. One of them today, 0 for 4 with 3 groundouts. High bouncer over to first. Castillo's going to step on the bag to get the sure out. Cimillo advances to second easily, but it's ruled a foul. Thought for a second that that ball bounced in fair territory, but clearly Chad Lagana can see better than I am. So instead, it's an 0-1 count. Cimillo's back at first. And now Manuel Cerrero takes his place in the left-handed batter's box. Left on left for the first time in this frame. 0-1 from Ronan. Hit the other way, foul. 0-2. Couple of finals in the Florida State League, as Lakeland beat Tampa 5-1. 0-2. Called. Nope. The review up to the scores table up here. It's a 1-2. It looked to me like that ball was in there. I thought it was going to be a called third strike. Disson did too, but instead it's a 1-2 count to Torero. Now the 1-2. Foul tip, and it bounced in front of Disson. So he'll get a new ball from the umpire, and Torero will stay alive. Today's a big day for the Pirates family, marking the 22nd anniversary of PNC Park. On April 9th in 2001, PNC Park opened its doors as one of the most beautiful ballparks in all the major leagues, in my opinion. 1-2. Bouncing into Disson's glove, he quickly throws the mask and keeps it in front of him. Staying at first base is Cimillo, and it's a 2-2 count to Torero. I had the pleasure of going to PNC Park as a fan for the first time last October in Albert Pujols' final series. Got to see his last pro home run with my brother, and it was a pretty incredible experience. But gorgeous views from that ballpark, so happy 22nd birthday to PNC. Foul ball the other way. That's probably going to land on the roof of the Threshers clubhouse, and that's two pitches fouled off with two strikes by Torero, making Ronan work for out number two. Cimillo inches off first. It's a 4-2 lead for Clearwater in the top of the ninth inning. Ronan looks for the sign and deals. Hit high in the air out to left field. Rincones tracking it down the foul line, and it did not stay fair. Really close to being a double in the corner, but Torero will just stay alive and walk back to home plate. So it's still a 2-2 count to Torero. Some activity in case the Marauders can come back in Bradenton's bullpen. But now it's a 2-2 count with one out. The pitch. Over the head of Terrero, he ducks under it to fill up the count at 3-2. Just a breaking ball that did not drop for Mason Rona. So now it's a full count. Camillo is still being held on first base by Castillo. Ronan deals. Up and in, and Terrero is the tying run on first base. Disson is going to take a walk towards the pitcher's mound to have a chat with Mason Ronan, while Nick Camillo heads to second. And Emmanuel Terrero heads to first with a one-out walk. Two walks sandwiched by a strikeout. And now Matt Hockenberry will join the fray, coming out to talk to Ronan. No action in the Threshers' bullpen, so the ninth belongs to Mason. Hockenberry, a guy who pitched here in Clearwater a couple of years ago, got all the way up to Reading, Philly's AA affiliate, before he was cut back in 2017. And it's pretty much as soon as his playing career was ended by the Phillies, they called and asked him if he wanted to coach, which he said yes. Fortunately, he did say yes to that. Really good voice for these young pitchers, as a guy who has been in their exact situation before. So back to the dugout goes Hockenberry. Terrero on first, Camillo on second, and now Jack Brannigan at the plate, who represents the go-ahead run. The ball gets away from Disson. Camillo will head to third, and he's in there safely on the wild pitch. Terrero, though, stays at first base. So the tying run does not move. And a crucial run is now 90 feet from home with a 1-0 count to Brannigan. And it is not Nick Camillo. A pinch runner is Howery Custodio. A little extra speed now 90 feet from home plate. The 1-0. Inside fastball, 2-0. Short lead off first for Terrero, being held on by Castillo. The 2-0. Breaking ball, just dipping low, and once again, a 3-0 count. Same thing happened in Camillo's at bat to lead off the inning. And Ronan in danger of loading the bases. Still no action in the Threshers bullpen, but still a 4-2 lead for Clearwater. The pitch. High fastball, and that elicits some cheers from the fans and the Marauders dugout as the go-ahead run is now on first base. Terrero to second, and now the bases are loaded for Javier Rivas. He struck out in his last at bat, but he has three hits already today. A single could very well tie this game up, but Ronan is going to try and prevent that from happening. Fouled away, and it's 0-1. First three-hit game of the season for any of the Marauders players. They've had a multi-hit game in every game except for Saturday, which they were no hit. 0-1. Breaking ball outside, 1-1. No place to put Rivas as the bases are loaded with one out here in the bottom of the ninth inning. 4-2 the score. Threshers in the lead. They have five hits. Bradenton has seven. Rivas has one of those two runs. The 1-1, way outside, and it's 2-1. You can just hear the fans. You can hear the dugout getting a whole lot more intense in this late game situation. Ronan looking for the save. A 2-1 count. A double play would end it. The pitch. Curveball. Nice pitch. Over the center of the plate. Rivas is frozen. And now Ronan is a strike away from what would be a huge out number two. 2-2 the count. 4-2 the score, Threshers lead. The pitch. Wrapped foul over the head of the third base coach for Bradenton, and we'll do it again at 2-2. The 2-2 pitch. Foul tip out of the glove of Disson. And he taps his glove disapprovingly, frustrated at himself that he didn't secure that for the out. And you got to love that about these pro athletes. That is not an easy thing to do. A foul tip on a pitch that was a little over 80 miles an hour. Had to adjust that much quicker to get a ball already dipping pretty low. And he's mad at himself that he didn't get it. 2-2 again. Hit on the ground to short. This could be it. Flips to Kemp for one. On to first. And that's the ball game. Double play. And the Threshers win. Brito and Kemp have been great combining for the double play. And what an ending to this game and this series as the Threshers take the first series of 2023 with two straight wins on the weekend. Mason Ronan gets the save, and Clearwater is victorious once again. The win will go to Jack Dallas. He pitched a scoreless two innings with a walk and a strikeout. Ronan walked two, struck out one, but did not allow a run or a hit for his save. So two lefty closers got the save for Clearwater, and they will head back home on a very high note as they await the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles in their first home series of 2023. Let's take you through this ball game because it certainly was an exciting one. Bradenton took the lead in the second inning on a sacrifice fly, and Davis Nadal, who hit that fly ball to Cade Fergus, walked in another run in the bottom of the third inning to make it 2-0. At that point, the offense for Clearwater really had not woken up yet. By the third inning, they had just one hit, and it was a single back in the second inning, but things certainly would wake up with a couple of helps from the pitching staff. In the sixth inning, Amarion Boyd led things off with a walk. He advanced to second on a hit-and-run fielder's choice by Chad Castillo. Then, during the next couple of at-bats, there were two wild pitches that moved Castillo to third and scored Amarion Boyd. During the at-bat of Otto Kemp, there was another wild pitch. Castillo scored easily from third, and the pitcher was covering. That was J.P. Massey. The pitcher covered. The catcher, Giovanni Planchart, flipped the ball back to Massey, and it got away from his glove, squirting all the way back past the dirt behind the plate and onto the foul grass on the first base side. Taking advantage of the commotion, Cade Fergus kept on running from second base and scored all the way from second on a wild pitch to plate what would eventually be the winning run. He may or may not have gotten hurt on the play as he was not out in the outfield in the next inning. Hopefully he'll be better, but he did help the Threshers take a huge lead, get three runs in that sixth inning, and take it a 3-2 advantage. Chad Castillo then led off the eighth inning with a home run on an 0-2 count that would probably still be flying if not for the wall in the back of that bullpen. May have driven a hole through one of those poles in the left field wall. Just an absolute rocket for the Threshers' first home run of the season, and it proved crucial. In the ninth inning, a couple of walks, three to be exact, from Mason Ronan, weren't enough for the Marauders. The go-ahead run was on first base, but a 6-4-3 double play ended the game and secured a second straight victory for the Threshers. Jack Dallas gets his first win of the season. J.P. Massey gets his first loss after allowing three runs, though two of them earned in three innings, but striking out five. The save goes to Mason Ronan with a strikeout and three walks in one inning of work. From the hitting side, just five hits for the Threshers scattered around the lineup. Castillo, Byers, Kemp, and Brito all got one, as did Jordan Disson. And Brito extends his season starting hit streak to three straight games, the only player to get a hit in all three games of this series. The Threshers will take on the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles in the opening full series. By full series, I mean the normal six-game sets that we typically see in all of minor league baseball. The Mighty Muscles got a day off today because they started their season this past Thursday on April 7th. And Fort Myers took 2 of 3 at home against Dunedin. They have an extra day off, but on Tuesday, they will hopefully face the roar of a full Dollar Tuesday Threshers crowd. Dollar hot dogs, dollar sodas, a whole bunch of other things for just $1 at BayCare Ballpark. I think that should attract a lot of fans. And I'm certainly excited to get things started from the home press box over at BayCare Ballpark. Pre-game show will start at about 6:15. If you're listening to this link, you're in the right place for the pre-game show next week. And the first pitch will be at 6:30. If you want to get tickets, you can go to threshersbaseball.com/tickets and purchase your tickets online. The gates open at 5:30 on Tuesday for the Threshers home opener. Hopefully I'll see you there. But if you've been listening and plan to listen again on Tuesday, thank you so much for entertaining me here on the broadcast. I'm Josh Sperber. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you for the Threshers home opener on Tuesday.